Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q3 FY24 earnings conference call of Acrotech Foods Limited, hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phones. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Aditya. I welcome you all to Acrotech Foods Q3 FY24 results conference call, hosted by Anand Rathi Share and Stock Brokers. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Sachin Gopal, Managing Director, and Mr. KPN Srinivas, CFO. Now, without much ado, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sachin Gopal for his opening comments and followed by a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ajay, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for taking the time out to join us today. We'll go through the presentation, which has already been uploaded on our website, and after that, we can take questions. So if you could just go to, I'm on page two right now, so which is the quarter three update. Our mission and vision, page three, to be the best performing, the most respected foods company in India. And then on to page four, which is a performance highlights for quarter three. And wherever it is year to date, we have indicated that our commentary is year to date. So overall, I think the highlight is we've had a slow growth in food, certainly less than we would like it to be, much less. And we'll walk you through what are the what is going on underlying. Underlying everything, we believe all the trends are strong, but we need to be able to diagnose this and discuss it with you. And also lower pricing in staples, that's in line with whatever is the commentary you heard from us in the prior quarters, and the full impact of that is flowing through in the current year. And probably I would say some impact of this pricing might even the lower pricing might even stretch into a little bit of quarter one of next year. In terms of the actual growth rate, I think the foods growth rate has started to inch up, right? We are now in the volume is in the, if you will, low single digits, right? But spreads and are ready to cook continue to be a drag on the total, right? So we'll update you on the actions taken and what are the results and how do we see it today. One of the questions that we were asked by our board and by chairman was, why is the growth rate lower than we'd like it to be? And because our algorithm is clearly talking about a high double-digit growth. And I think there's been a lot of, if you will, news in the media about how rural is dragging companies down, and the question was, so therefore, how does ours look? So we had provided that answer in this board meeting, and therefore, we're sharing it with you also. We don't normally give you channel-wise splits, but it, I think, helps to address the question on why, and therefore, why do we believe it can be better. So the current growth rate of foods, and this refers to the food business, is driven right now largely by semi-urban/rural. So what we call, and many companies call in their network, the super distributor network. So we're not really into rural in a big way, but these are the smaller towns, the sub-100,000 towns, probably 40,000-50,000 population. And there we've got a very good growth, actually. We've got a growth of about 11% in revenues and a 13% growth in volume, all right? As compared to the more urban parts of the country where we have direct distributors, so we service these distributors directly, not through super distributors, right? Where we have a revenue growth of only 1% and a volume growth of only 3%. So what we wanted to therefore highlight was, I think a lot of the portfolio work that we've done, actually, and a lot of it has been in 10 and 5 rupees, is actually paying off. We're getting good, reasonably good double-digit growth in the more semi-urban/rural parts of the country. But because ready-to-cook and spreads are so, if you will, so dominant, right? And obviously, our coverage is also that much better, that impacts the more urban parts of the country significantly. So the short answer, therefore, to the question is on why is the foods growth less than we'd like it to be? It has nothing to do with the macros, right? Because if it is the macro, then it would behave more similarly to other companies who've reported that rural is dragging them down. That's not the case in our company. I think we've got only two drags right now, which we are working hard to, and I think are almost reached there in terms of addressing. One is in ready-to-cook, which is the post-COVID hangover, which we talked about earlier, when we'll tell you now, therefore, now that we've had several months of growth, I mean, reasonable growth in this year. We'll tell you what we think we need to get it to the 8%-10% range. And the second part is in spreads, where we have had a lot of competitive activity, particularly in the mid-size packs, and where we've taken actions, and we expect to see the results of that as well in the coming quarter. Okay? So just a sort of hygiene point, if you will. Yeah. These are YTD figures, right? Okay? So these numbers are low. Thank you, Srinu. Yeah? In terms of the year-to-date gross contribution and margin, these are actually up nicely. They're up by about 18 crores and 9 crores respectively. So the year-to-date gross contribution is up by 18 crores and the year-to-date gross margin is up by about 9 crores. Right? So you will see that as well in the financial results. For quarter three, the figures are lower than prior year, right? And the figures are 3 crores and 6 crores lower respectively. And that really reflects the phasing of pricing and the mix between oils and foods. Okay? So it's a little anomalous because you'd rather normally expect to see the 6 in the first and then the 3 later. But that's the way it pans out given our product portfolio and obviously the impact on oils. Right. Overall, however, on a year-to-date basis, I think we're looking at continuing improvement in margin. As a company, our margin has gone up nicely. Right. Obviously, that's partly due to lower revenues, but we're managing that piece, I would say, okay. For the quarter, A&P is large pretty much at prior year levels. You can see that in the financial results. On a year-to-date basis, however, it is higher, and that reflects the additional investments that we made behind the business. In terms of SG&A, overall, I think on a year-to-date basis, it's largely in line with prior year, other than salaries, travel, and freight. We probably have about a 2 crore, you will see that in employee benefits, we have about a 2 crore increase in salaries, and this may not be visible to you in the results, but we have about a 1 crore increase in travel, right, which reflects, you know, just the coming back, the higher travel costs, so on and so forth. And quarter 3 PBT and PAT are therefore 3.4 crores and 2.5 crores respectively, and year-to-date PBT and PAT are about 12 crores and close to 9 crores respectively. Okay. So if you could just go to page 5, we'll skip page 5, that's more of a picture page, and go to page 6, and we'll dive into the more important parts of the conversation. Alright, so as you can see here, on a year-to-date basis, our volumes in spread in our ready-to-cook are up about 3% with a value of 0%, right? Value growth of 0%. And that's primarily due to the fact that in the largest part of the business, which is instant popcorn, we had taken up pricing if you remember last year, we had a huge increase in quarter one and quarter two. So in palm oil, and as a consequence, we had to take up our price, which we then started to bring back towards the end of quarter four of last year. So what is behind the 3% growth? Behind it is there's a year-to-date volume growth of about 5% in instant popcorn, partly offset with popcorn and lower adjacencies. When we say adjacencies, that is basically sweet corn and pasta. Right? So we'll walk through each one of these individually. And now, this 5% on instant popcorn is very steady now. So you see, we also wanted to see how much of it is the post-COVID hangover, what is it. And now I think, barring the month of May, where we had lower commissary orders last year, which is CSD, I would say every month is if you look at the cumulative growth rate of instant popcorn, is in the region of 5-6%. So we are therefore comfortable that now this business is at a 5% growth rate, which we need to take up to 8, because that 8 starts to give us a total ready-to-cook algorithm of about 10, right? Because we expect the adjacencies to go faster. So I would say our plan is therefore to close the gap in IPC growth between the 5 and the 8% that we require with a little higher media spend in FY25. So that's the conversation that we had with the board yesterday. Right? We have indicated to you that total A&P is going to increase from the 6.5% range to about a 7.5% range. That's for total foods, okay, not for ready cook. And probably anywhere between 7.5% should give us the incremental 4 crores that we think we need to increase the investments behind. So that is something that we've discussed, and therefore we are, you know, going to pursue now. Not in this quarter, but starting quarter one. The lower base pricing will start to flow through in end quarter four and prior year. So as you can see, right now value is behind volume, but that will change as we end quarter four of prior year. That will set the base for revenue to start therefore growing in line with volume. Okay, so instant popcorn growing by about 5, gap between 5 and 8, we will address that with about 4 crores of higher media, right? That should get us to 8% volume. 8% volume should translate into 8% value, right? Because starting next year or quarter one, we should, you know, the base on a per kilo base pricing should be compatible, right? And then on top of that, we will build the adjacencies in the RTC category. Okay. In terms of the non-popcorn business, which is sweet corn and pasta, this was the business had a gap of 49% at the end of September, right? So that means basically it was tracking to about 51% of last year. That gap has come down as we started putting more energy behind it. And we're doing all of that, and I think that should give us a reasonable delta in terms of growth as we enter FY25. In terms of new products, we started rolling out the cocoa-based products, so the baked treats, which is really a cake mix, right, which is something that we're starting to roll out. We're starting to do the demos. We're doing it in a phased manner, so we don't want to be going overboard on it in terms because if you go overboard on anything, it has obsolescence cost. But we're just going to track it slow and steady and build this category. We think we have very good competitive advantage here because we pretty much own the microwavable foods category in India. We have popcorn, but that's the only one we do, right? And we'll see now as we go forward what all we can do. And we have shared with you the plant meat, the one-minute yum kheema. That market testing has also started now. We started rolling it out. It is going to be slow, but the main thing we are finding here in plant meats is that there's a very large difference in awareness between the top end of the socioeconomic spectrum and the bottom end, right? The bottom end, even I would say middle, right? So it is, but at the top end, actually, the awareness of plant meat is more than I expected. So it's pretty reasonable. The product response is excellent, and as it is in the case of the baked treats, and we'll start dialing these up slowly and build up distribution in a very steady manner. Okay. So that's as far as ready-to-cook is concerned. As far as ready-to-eat is concerned, I think picture looks very good. Overall growth of about 20% in volume and 19% in value. The main volume driver for this category is ready-to-eat popcorn, where I think we've clearly reached a very, very significant inflection point. So that part is going well, and all parts of sweet, all parts of popcorn, savory popcorn, small pack, savory popcorn, big pack, sweet popcorn, everything doing very well. Sweet snacks, which is basically caramel blissed sweet popcorn and our Crunchies product, the pan products, are also up 66%, so up to about 8% share of the total RTE business. We had, however, wanted to get well beyond that, right? Because I think at one stage in one quarter, we had actually touched even 11% last year. And then, of course, there's been overall very strong growth, but we wanted to get to a mid-single-digit, mid-teen kind of number. But I think we need to make some recipe changes in the pan products, something in the pack. So we are working on that, and that would be the first step for us to get past the 10%. In terms of gift packs of sweet popcorn, we rolled them out in quarter three. They are slower than chocolates, but nevertheless a good start. Our chocolate lends itself very naturally to gifting. So you don't even have to tell anybody, "Oh, chocolate is a great gift." Popcorn as a gift is okay. It's acceptable, but it's not something that is instantaneous or spontaneously comes top of mind. But nevertheless, I think we were able to roll this out. We'll again make some tweaks in this year, and then so that in the coming months and for the next festive season, we are in good shape. We can see a very visible impact of the rupees 5 pan range in the rural markets. That's for sure. So I think together with the 5 rupee packs of breakfast cereals as well, which is the shelf product in cereals. So I think the 5 rupee portfolio is actually really enabling us to make very significant gains down the line, right? And that is evident in the conversations that I've had with super distributors in different parts of the country where they are feeling, yeah, the Agrotech portfolio is absolutely perfect for them to make a breakthrough. And that is true not only in ready-to-eat, it is true even in Duo or 5 rupees Duo. The largest selling decor right now is Patna. Now, we're not selling enough of the 5 rupees Duo, but the point is that therefore the acceptance, we are finding the right way forward in terms of the smaller markets, which is critical. Because see, if you want to be a billion-dollar foods company in India, we're not going to be a billion dollars if we don't have the right 5 and 10 portfolio. It's impossible. No company can do it, right? So we need to get the top end right. We need to get the bottom end right. And all these actions show that we are starting to get the bottom end right very well. This is something that we talked about 3 quarters ago. The last point we'd like to make is that on ready-to-eat portfolio, the big packs of ready-to-eat also appear to be reaching an inflection point. So that's really good for us because that's taken us some time. And this is not only in channels like quick commerce and all, it's also true in, you know, out of home, in highway stops, etc., etc. I think more or less we've cracked the supply chain and the formula on this one. So that's done. Now, the thing is that we are trying to work within our supply chain and sales to increase penetration because that should help to further accelerate growth. So to give you an idea, we today, right in the middle of COVID, we took a decision that we will not sell 5 and 10 rupees products directly to customers, right? And we then, if you will, restricted the sale of our products because, you know, otherwise we were having heavy obsolescence. It was ineffective because you have loading, unloading charges, additional freight, so on and so forth. And as a consequence, we probably ship our directly from our company. We ship to our products, our ready-to-eat snacks today to probably in the region of about 500 customers, right? And we, as you know, we have about 1,100 direct customers. And we have another 1,500 indirect customers, right, under the super distributor. So the total size of price is about 2,500. Now, of that, in the 500, there will also be some of the retail stockists also that we have started servicing directly. But the point is the size of price is very big. So we just need to refine the supply chain, make sure it works for us from a profitability perspective, from a freight perspective, and it works so make sure for the customer. But this is a very long runway for growth, and that is what we are working on. Okay, so overall picture on ready-to-eat looks very good. So spreads and dips, as we said earlier, ready-to-cook and spreads and dips are really the two focus areas which we need to address to get back to our algorithm of 16-18% growth. And on a year-to-date basis, you can see our volume is down about 3% versus last year, and value is down about 6%. So we've already taken the actions because these actions that we needed to take were largely in the mid-size packs. And obviously, to get some good trial packs in, we've done that. And we are steadily gaining ground in mid-size packs driven by a recipe-based Honey Roast peanut butter. As I said, we already dominate the large packs. So this piece is now working very well. I would say we are gaining ground very, 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 very quickly. And I would expect that we would be in positive volume growth by quarter four. And that will set the base for solid growth in FY25. Right. There will, however, be some lag in pricing, so the volume-value relationship in the coming quarters may not be on par. But we'll work through that, and we'll keep you posted as we develop it. I would say we are actually already seeing the results. For example, in general trade, not in modern trade, where you know our competitors do have the ability to spend a lot of money, but in general trade, our volumes are already up in quarter three. I think they were up about 3%. Versus prior year. So we can already see the signs. Very soon, you know, the general trade growth itself will go up, and I'm sure even in modern trade, whatever is the initial impact of competitors spending a lot of money, that will definitely have to fade away. Everything finally has to boil down to some amount of rationality. So all that is good. In terms of the blister pack, we've launched it. We told you about this earlier. The rupees 10 blister pack is settling down. We are getting a significant number of transactions every month to be able to get new consumers for this, right? And we are also seeing visible gains in peanut butter distribution. We are now just under 1 lakh stores now, and I think hopefully we'll reach that mark in the coming quarters. Certainly, all the indications are that it's had a dramatic movement, I would say, over the last 2-3 quarters, once we did these actions on the mid-size packs and the entry-level packs. And work is also completed for the launch of the dipper pack at rupees 10 to further accelerate the trial of Honey Roast peanut butter. If you recall, I told you about the on-the-go consumption of peanut butter because that's a big consumption opportunity. It also gives you a lot of visibility in the store, right? Like, for example, in breakfast cereals, for our Pops brand, you will see it very visible. You will also see active ready-to-eat popcorn very visible. But you will not see peanut butter that visible, right? Because it's a bottle stored in a shelf. So we are working on how do we get more visibility and facings in the store with peanut butter adjacency. They can be related to peanut butter, right? It may not be peanut butter only. It could be peanut butter with a dip. It could be something else. But all of that will simply increase our visibility in the trade. And we are the only people, honestly, who can do it because we are the only people who sell peanut butter who have a huge network of batch stacks manufacturing facilities. So it's a significant competitive advantage. So we are launching our version of that on-the-go pack. in the peanut butter. It's going to be priced at 10 rupees, and we are just, I think we should be starting production sometime in February. So that's on track. That will address the out-of-home consumption location for peanut butter. And once we are comfortable that this piece is working, then there'll be a lot of other things that we can do in terms of the on-the-go consumption of nut spreads, right? Okay. Then, so I would say in good shape. The proof of the pudding obviously is in the eating. So you'll need to see our quarter four results, and you'll need to see the volume growth there. If you see the volume growth there, then you know that we've turned it around, and we can look forward to the kind of solid growth that we need, a 10-odd% growth in the category for next year. So, that's it as far as spreads is concerned. Breakfast cereals, all looking good. That number of -3 that you're seeing, which is on page 9, is really just an aberration because we had launched Masala Oats last year in this quarter, right? That's why you can see the pricing is much higher. The value is, there's a delta of almost 900 basis points, right? Because obviously oats sells at a much lower price than Centrefilled cereals or any extruded cereal for that matter. So Pop Centrefilled cereals continue steady growth. We have a lower volume index, as I said, for total cereals due to the launch of Masala Oats in the prior year. Rewired architecture for shelves, which is the plain extruded product, is now working. We got a quarter three growth of 9%. That's good. And total cereals distribution now up to about 134,000 stores. We've started to roll out a muesli, and that's good. I think we probably underestimated the demand for it, and you know, because we are also being very, very careful now. We told you one of the points we have to address is that 1.9% obsolescence. So we just need to be careful without compromising on the quantum of innovation that our company has to do. And we'll be assessing the consumer acceptance of this in quarter four. And we've also started the process of the manufacture of sweet oats, which will be launched in Q4. So I would say all good, and you know, we hope that in the launches as we go forward, we continue to drive innovation very hard, but are also able to control the amount of obsolescence that is generated. And we are also preparations for launch of a Centrefilled coffee variant. One more variant is underway, and this is scheduled for quarter four of this year. So overall, I would say on breakfast cereals, strong momentum, very strong momentum, and both ready-to-eat and breakfast cereals actually, it's visible. It's visible in the growth figures. It's also visible in our manufacturing cost per kilo, which are coming down dramatically as our volumes are increasing. So, which is a result of reflection of operating leverage. Okay. Last category in the foods part, which is chocolates. A little up and down, you can see a plus 38, plus 9, plus 11 volume growth, but overall about, I would say 17. So I would say roughly, give it about a 20% growth, which is in line also with the distribution increases that we've had over the last 12 months, right? But the level of volume growth, I would say, is still lower than what we would have liked it to be, right? We would have liked it to be in 35-40% mark. And I think the one piece that probably has not worked so well for us this year is that we had a moderate acceptance of the 5 rupees pack. I think our 5 rupees pack, we expected it to be bigger, but overall, I think it's a very good pack, especially for smaller markets. But I would say its performance has been lower than our expectations. The most likely cause is you know, the size impression. It's a little smaller in comparison to either wafer chocolates at rupees 5 or even larger brands like Five Star. The footprint, the size impression of those is larger. So we figure it out. We have to work through this. We're obviously working underway. It's not acceptable. I mean, the chocolate market is huge. So, you know, even if it's acceptable to 20% or 10%, it's still large enough for us. But it's still, it'll take us a little while to crack it. Meanwhile, in any case, we had a scheduled additional launch of a Paan variant, right? The Paan goes very well because, you know, we already have a coconut. So we've just started commercial production of that. And, you'll probably start to see it in the market in the next month or two, right? It's an outstanding product. And that will play to our strength in the 10 rupee variant. And we will therefore be able to, I would say, increase our total addressable market or the consumers whom we are talking to, because each variant develops its own loyal consumer base, right? How much exactly growth it will come, it can get, I'm not sure exactly. Let's see when the numbers come in, but it should add up. Because the bulk of our business today is a 10 rupee business. We are also continuing to work. We told you earlier that the chocolate manufacturing process and supply chain is extremely complex, and therefore product shelf life, product integrity, shelf life, they're all being addressed. We've done a lot of work in the areas of sanitation, humidity, handling of the products, so on and so forth, sealing. And I would say we are, you know, we are, Therefore, the new lines that, remember, we told you we are setting up lines with a capacity of 100 crore plus in total, and those lines, therefore, are very, very close to, if you will, completion. So our plan right now in this quarter is that we will be transitioning to those new lines for manufacturing. They will address all the initial layout issues and production issues that we had in the existing lines, right? And then these will also migrate into the new hall, if you will. And so I would say addressing it in a good manner. The size of price of this, as I've always said, is huge, and we therefore are addressing all the right points, I would say. One point to note on quarter three, I think we had a very successful introduction of the new gift pack range. We had two packs at 200 and one pack at 100. All of them did well, but the one at 100, which is the Moments pack that you see here, it just rocketed through. And we had close to zero inventory of the 100 rupees pack post-Diwali. Gift packs are always difficult to manage, particularly in the festive season, and it's not a problem peculiar to us or to India. It exists across the world, which is how do you forecast what's the right volume to sell. One year you sell good, next year you plan more, and then suddenly you have inventory left over. So clearly, what we targeted to sell was less than what the market could sell through. But you know, we didn't also want to get addressed with a lot of inventory and obsolescence in our book of accounts after that. So I think it's gone well, and we are happy with it. But next year, obviously, we'll plan a bigger figure, and then we'll also see how to make this available through the year. Because most of the Cadbury gift packs are 100 rupees, they sell through the year. The 200, 300 rupees sell more during festive season, but the 100 rupee ones sell right through the year. And we are the only other player at that price point along with Cadbury's. Okay. In terms of staples, you can see volumes are lower in premium staples by about 6%, mass staples about 9, up 9, total minus 4. Value is obviously reflecting the drop in prices. So overall, I would say volume are down 4%, and you know, premium was partly offset by mass staples and adjacencies. Roll on of oats and almonds continued. We think we'll have estimated revenues of about 10 crore plus on oats and almonds. So you know, that's not equal to our oil business, but it's not bad, and you know, it helps from a distribution network perspective. It also helps us in terms of our buying of oats for granola, muesli, so on and so forth. And I would say, therefore, the adjacencies support increased efficiencies in procurement and help the distributor network. We've talked about this earlier. In terms of competitive update, I would say steady spends behind Act 2. We estimate a marginally higher annual spending next year by about 4 crores to get to the 8% growth rate. So that is what we are planning, and that is what we discussed with our board of directors earlier this week. In terms of spreads, please go to page 14. We've got very, very steady spends behind Sunrock. However, Kisan also continues to spend and spend at heavy levels. So let's see how long they're able to last out. And Hershey's, sorry for the English there, it's basically they've dropped their spending significantly in FY24. Okay. So I would say long term, probably it's very likely that in chocolate spread, we are not going to see competitive spending, because Ferrero in any case doesn't really spend. And if Hershey's also doesn't spend, then our play will start to become stronger, because you know, we are putting all our money behind nut butters, and but we will still probably be able to get leadership of the chocolate spread category even without spending money. So let's see how that goes. In terms of breakfast cereals, we are maintaining a steady investment. You can see what is visible here is that Tata's have really reduced their investments. You can see Tata's foothold, and I think that's consistent with what I've seen also when wherever we have common distributors with them, it's starting to be a challenge. It's one of the challenges, I guess, of if you have a large, like what we face, right, with an edible oil business, that until the processed foods becomes a reasonably big part of it, you know, the commodity side of it is always put pressure on the system. That's the law of nature, if you will. And Saffola is lower than prior year. So in terms of chocolates, not much to report. Really, it's got strong category margins. You know, I've told you these numbers. You can check them yourself. Average gross margin in chocolates is about 60%. So, you know, gross contribution. And that's more closer to personal care than it is to any food business. So it obviously, therefore, given those contribution levels, it merits that kind of spending. And it indicates we are in the right category in terms of our margin profile, as we want to increase our gross contribution of foods from 46% to the 48-49% mark, and we are just working through this how to build share in a large but competitive chocolate category. In terms of edible oils, this is interesting, because premium edible oils, and this is page 17, so it's worth a look. If you look at it, premium edible oil spending has actually dropped to nil. right? So in quarter three, it was nil, and in quarter two, it was nil, right? So if you see, we had actually stopped spending. In fact, from FY 2019 onwards, we didn't really spend any money, right? But it looks like the competition is also heading there. So we obviously can't forecast what will happen in quarter four and quarter one of next year. But if you look at this chart, it's indicated that whatever we did several years ago, our competitors are also going to have to do now, right? Then overall, therefore, in terms of quarter three, FY 2024 summary, year-to-date foods volume growth of about 5%, right? Clearly lower than what we wanted it to be. So but we are addressing the drag caused by Ready-to-Cook and spread. And we believe there is sufficient strength in the actions being taken and proposed, right? Just to recap, I've already told you in Ready-to-Cook, the key is getting instant popcorn to that 8-odd% growth level, right? That's our algorithm. And that we are already at 5, so we believe that with a little incremental investment in media, we should be able to do that along with distribution expansion. And in spread, we've already taken all the necessary actions, and our expectation is that by quarter four of this year itself, volume should be coming back, right? Moving from negative to positive space. Gross contribution level of food stays at about 46%, so it's really close to best in class, right? Best in class defined, as we've always told you, is Nestlé in the range of 48%-52%. With sufficient capacity in hand, a lot of our focus now is on reducing cost. So we're focusing, as we told you in our November analyst call meeting, we're focusing on labor, we're focusing on energy, and we're focusing on obsolescence. These are the three really where we feel we have a large size of prize in order to be able to reduce our manufacturing costs and obsolescence costs, and therefore improve our gross margin from this 46% contribution that we have today. And it's not rocket science, but we feel together with operating leverage, this will do the job. And the impact of lower edible oil prices of about 35%, give or take a bit, partly offset through growth in foods, adjacencies in premium staples, and higher shipments of nut oils. So overall, on a revenue basis, you can see in the quarter, like we are, our revenue gap is about 10-odd%, right? And I think on a year-to-date, it would be in the region of about 8%. But if you take a weighted average, the revenue on an edible oils company would be in the 15%-20% range. So, I would say that's part of the benefit of having a portfolio now, which is much better in terms of managing fluctuations in commodity prices, right? And the last point that I'd like to make on quarter three is visible. We are making very strong inroads into smaller towns and mass markets, and that's critical. We will never be the kind of company we can say we want to be the best performing, most respected foods company, which really means it should have $1 billion turnover at that point, at some point in time. But we will never be able to do that if we don't have a mass market presence, right? If we are not available properly across the country, 5 and 10 price points, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that part is working very well for us. It's visible in the revenue numbers as well, also, and the volume numbers. And once we are able to resolve this RTC and spreads, which I've explained to you what we are doing, it will ensure that we return to a strong growth in 2024. So overall, on track to be the best performing, most respected foods company in India, and we will now start to take questions. So, Aditya, sorry, I think the operator, would request you to please come in and start the Q&A.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to take a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephones. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use headset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Percy Panthaki from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions from my side. On the Ready-to-Cook portfolio, could you give us some idea as to how many retail outlets are you touching on a direct and on a total basis? And where do you see these numbers going two to three years down the line? That's my first question. My second question is that your raw material cost has declined by about 315 basis points. Given the lower edible oil cost plus the mix shift, I would have expected this to be on the higher side. About 200-300 basis points should have come just from the lower edible oil cost, despite the pass-through. I'm sure it's not a full pass-through. And then on top of that, the mix of the higher foods contribution. So why is it that the gross margin expansion is not higher than that? So these are my two questions, sir.
Okay, thank you, Percy. Thanks very much. Thank you for the questions. Right. So yeah, I would say, see, we've indicated to you on instant popcorn. So probably we would have started this year at about, you know, close to about 280, 280, thereabout stores, 80, you know, in the low 280s. And right now we'd be clocking probably closer to the 295,000 mark. So we'll be closer to the 300,000 mark right now in terms of popcorn. And that it has a steady growth pattern. It grows steadily, right? Every month, every quarter. And obviously that's a continuing progress because it also needs to be supported by media. Okay. So that's the answer on the ready to cook. In terms of gross contribution, yeah, you called it out. There are two parts to it. One is that there is obviously a pass-through pricing, which has to be done in the edible oil prices, right? In the edible oil business. And the second also is that when the commodity prices of palm oil went up last year, we took up the prices, but then as they started coming down, we took them down as well. Okay? Right? So that is why you can see the value growth in ready to cook is less than the volume growth. Right? You can see that difference. I think the difference is about 300 or 400 basis points, right? So you can see we've got about 3% growth in volume and a nil growth in value, right? So that reflects also the impact of wherever we felt it necessary, we took some pricing. And there'll be a third element on this, which is that, see, HUL is spending a reasonable amount of money, right? They would have spent more than 150 crores by now on spreads. So we don't have 150 crores to defeat them, right? But we do have a very good product and we have the option to price ourselves in a manner that they find it very difficult to believe, right? We have done that. In the big pack, we are actually, it's like a closer, right? I don't think really, they probably hardly sell the big pack any longer. So in the mid-sized, once we've closed and brought their business to a stage that clearly they will not be able to spend any more money, at that point in time, we will look to increasing the price. So in terms of pricing, these are the three elements which are governing the outcome that you are seeing today. Chini, is there anything else that I can talk about? No. Okay. Okay, Percy. So those are the points. Huh? Thanks. Thank you. Thank you for the question. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Our next question is from the line of Vivek Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Sachinji, for the opportunity. My question is on, you can take it as on spreads and in general, how to understand the other products where growth is not up to the mark as we have envisaged.
Mm-hmm.
So is it because of the, let's take spreads, like is there scope to increase the distribution or is it market, like spending on ads or is it product or pricing, what are the things that we have to crack, do you think, like the competitive intensity, what are the things that we have to crack for us to see the sustained growth? Like, what are that 2-3 thresholds that we have to cross? Okay, well, these obstacles are done or these things are done. Like, maybe obstacle is not the right word, but if these 3-4 things are done, then we go into a sustainable growth. Is it like, are we facing tougher competition or do we have higher scope for distribution? I'm just trying to understand what are the levers so that we go into that path of, because last 3 years, if you see, sports growth has been very volatile. So just to understand, because at the same time, there's been a huge increase in competition. So I'm just trying to understand the dynamics. What are you looking for to get confidence that, okay, boss, we are set for growth in spreads? At least there is a stable market share.
Sure. Okay. Any other question, Vivek, or that's the one?
I think this is the one, sir.
Okay, that's all. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the question. So first, if you go to our earlier presentation, I think it was last quarter or the quarter before that, we had indicated, and I talked specifically for spreads, then I'll come to ready to cook again. Okay, because these are the only two ones which are dragging the growth. Everything else is okay, right? You can see ready to eat doing very well, breakfast cereals doing very well, and chocolates doing less than we expected, but you know, we are in the process of building the business model. So nothing unusual in that. Okay. Now coming to spread. We've had a volume CAGR for the last 3 years before Hindustan Lever launched Kisan Peanut Butter of 17%. Okay, so if you go pre-launch of our number one competitor today, at least in spending terms, not necessarily in revenue, right? We have had a volume growth of about 17%, right? But there has been a reasonable amount of competitive activity, nothing unusual. At one point in time, we had some 35 or 40 brands in instant popcorn competing with us, right? That's a large number of brands, more than 10 years ago. So every category goes through this phase. There's nothing unusual in that, right? and it's part of doing business. So I would say the comment is right that it has been up and down. If I look at the monthly chart, you know, up, down, like that, right? So I would say all we therefore need to do in spread is crack the mid-size packs, right? We need to do with our number, with HUL, what we did to them in large packs. We need to get new consumers to grow the category, because that's critical, right? Any competitor can go to a retailer and try and offer a margin and get inventory on a shot. But if the stock doesn't move, that's not a sustainable model.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
Right? So the critical thing is for us to be able to get the consumer with us. Once you own the consumer, you own everything. You own the currency printing machine. All right? And that's what we are in the process of doing. So that's why I said, yes, up and down point very well, very completely correct. But that is the consequence of so many people taking an interest in the category. As these people lose interest, we come back because we are winning with the consumer. We will have the ability to take pricing also and restore the margins that we have compromised on to be able to protect our volume share. That's all. Nothing else. Okay. As far as, ready to cook is concerned, and that's the other category which we called out that we are working on, we think, you know, and the graph, I don't show obviously those numbers here, but when I discuss it with the board, I actually show cumulative monthly spend, monthly volume. And every month is 5 to 6%. So we know now as a management team, 5 to 6% growth is in the bag with our current marketing mix, right? In this case, again, we don't see anything, no need to tweak anything. We think that 5 to 6 will get to 8%, but we need to increase our spending a little more. On a year-to-date basis, the spending is in line with prior year, but in quarter four, actually, we'll be spending less than prior year, right? Because we've also invested this year heavily upfront, not heavily, but, you know, reasonable amount by our standard behind cereals and chocolates. And therefore, in quarter four, it will be less than prior year. But after that, we will start spending, and what we've agreed with the board is that we'll go up, we will increase our spend levels, you know, to be able to fund that. That, I think, should address the growth to 8% level. If that is 8, the adjacencies give us 200 basis points because they will start growing faster, their adjacencies are normalized, the pricing is normalized, we'll get to 10% growth on RPC. And if that is the case, then that 16 to 18 starts to become real for us and visible because all the other categories are going that much faster. Okay? So that's it. It's simple. The business appears complex, but at its root, these are the only two things that we need to do. Okay?
Got it, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bimal Sampath, from an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, Mr. Sampath. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. So now my questions are basically on breakfast cereals and chocolate. Mm-hmm. Now, I am quite disappointed that breakfast cereals, I mean, up to last quarter, the growth was there, but now we are come down. And if I see in modern trade, you know, now I believe Hershey is also come with some products and Tata Soulful is very aggressive. So our presence in at least modern trade, big size stores, it is reduced. First, there used to be our Pops, that first variant, chocolate variant used to be there. But now that is reduced. And second thing is chocolates. What I understand that our supply chain is still not geared up properly, because if the product is sold out, they are not getting refilling fast, you know, that refilling is not happening faster. And then they put some other product on the shelf, which, I mean, then to... for us to come back is difficult. So I'm telling this in a constructive manner. So, I mean, how are you planning to address this? And second, now our capex on production capacity, is it over now or still we are continuing with capex?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Santos. So we'll try and answer your question. See, on cereals, in terms of big pack versus small packs, we are winning and have always been winning disproportionately in small packs. Okay, not in big packs. Right? Okay. Our estimate is we probably have 3 times the distribution of the market leader, which is Kellogg's, in terms of center field cereals. Alright? We have never actually had a huge presence of large packs, because that is where the role of advertising starts to become more important. right? So, and that is where, if you remember, we also started taking calls, addressing some of those, and we are doing that even today, right? So it is because as we, what happens in cereals in the smaller packs is you get automatic visibility. You take a lorry, you put it up, it is visible. And our Pops breakfast cereals are widely visible across the country, okay? So we are working and continuing, will work, continuing to win in bigger stores as well. So I'll give you a number. In Dehradun, we have a common distributor with Kellogg's, okay? Our distribution is three times the size of Kellogg's, but Kellogg's Centrefill cereal in his business is three times our size in value, okay? And that is all in big packs. It is all in big packs, and it is all in big stores. So it will happen. We will be taking share from them, but it's going to be one step at a time, okay? In terms specifically about Tata Soulfull, Hershey's, I think, is more of a collaboration, if you will, right? In terms of Tata Soulfull, I think we've talked about it. You can see that their spending has come down. And I think it is, in my view, and you've asked me this question probably separately, that it is a real mountain of a task for a company which is focusing on staples to move up to processed foods. It has been a mountain of a task for us also. It is only now that 55%-60% of our revenues come from processed foods. Even when we go into the market, the distributors that we get today are dramatically different from the distributors who would come to us 12, 13 years ago. Dramatically different. It's chalk and cheese. Today, we get the type of distributors that we want to get. So I would say on cereals, as I said, the number for the quarter might be low, not might be, is low, but that is only due to the launch of Masala Oats in the prior year. That's it. Other than that, business is doing well. Excellent momentum, absolutely no problem, okay? Coming to chocolate, yes. We are, I would say, not so much, yeah, you can call it supply chain, I suppose, right? But we are also just being very careful. The size of prize in this business is huge. Look, every company in the world wants, every company and every Indian entrepreneur and others, everybody wants to get into chocolates, right? Because there is a promise of profit, okay? It's a 60% gross contribution category, which everybody would like to be in, right? But it's a difficult category to do. It's difficult because you need a lot of focus in production, you need a lot of focus in transportation, in storage, etc., etc., right? So I think we've made all the right moves. We are already, I would say, available in about 120,000+ stores. So that means the, what do you call it, the proof of the business model is there. That you don't get to 120,000 stores in India with a 10 rupee product if you're not making a good product. Obviously, the consumer likes it, right? So the scaling up of that, we'll figure out. A large part of that is also what I called out in the chocolate slide in terms of the production processes, sanitation, humidity, handling, sealing, all of those pieces, right? But it's working well. And as you go back to our charts, which we have shared last quarter or the quarter before that, we've shown you how businesses take time. If you look at our ready-to-cook, ready-to-eat popcorn business, it was hovering around 4, 5 crores for I don't know how many years. And then suddenly, boom, you're able to crack it. And it's now, obviously, the new products are doing that faster and faster, right? So there's going to be some up and down. I'm not fussed about that. But I'd rather ensure that we make a high-quality product where we win with the customer. And if we do that, we will win. Our business will come, and the growth is assured, okay? And last is on CapEx. No, see, we will continue to spend CapEx, but kind of not at too much variation from whatever is the cash flow that we are generating. We've always told you that, right? We don't want to borrow and spend a lot of money on interest for the sake of doing CapEx. So that's the model we followed, and we'll continue to follow. The only difference now is we have a reasonable amount of capacity, I think, in hand. We don't need to invest so much now to build for a 1,000 crore business in terms of capacity. More and more of our spending, so like the CapEx proposals that yesterday I would have put to the board, all three proposals were related only to cost reduction, right? It could be automation, it could be energy, whatever it is, right? So our CapEx focus is shifting, and that's correctly so, right? Because our base margin profile is fine. See, we are at 46%, as we explained in the November analyst meet. We need 48%-49%, 200-250 basis points, not very far, which scale will definitely get it, right? Okay? The key for us to get to a 15%-20% EBITDA margin is now to reduce the manufacturing cost by about 500 basis points. So we are going to invest CapEx in that area more than anything else, okay? I hope that answered your question. Thank you very much, and thank you for the feedback. Okay.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask question. Our next question is from the line of Ajay Thakur from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Sir, just wanted to understand in terms of these staples. So generally, whenever we see that we have taken a price cut, or you know, generally when the industry undertakes a price cut, the volumes actually start following with a lag. Now we have already taken almost, you know, quite a bit of a price cuts in staples business, but the volumes are still negative in that segment. When can we expect the volumes to start recovering and stabilizing in the segment for staples?
Okay. Is that it, Ajay? Yeah.
The second question, sir, also wanted to understand broadly in terms of, you know, the your guidance for ad spends. You had indicated a broad range of around 7% kind of you know, ad spend during the analyst meet. So wanted to check on that as well. Do we continue to hold that, you know, 7% kind of ad spend, and also which all segments we would be, you know, kind of targeting in terms of spending that you know, that pie?
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So I'll take the ad spend part first. We've always told you over the years, we don't think the food business can get to 15% EBITDA margin with a 12% ad spend. So we have always told you and all investors that we are working in a model of an ad spend of 7 to 8%, and that's what we are even today. Okay. So like I think I mentioned it in one of the charts that when I was talking about RT, that at a total company level, we're probably at about 6.5% today, and probably for next year we'll be in the 7 to 7.5% range. Alright, okay. So that's what we are. But we believe that is adequate ammunition for us to be able to deliver the growth rates, our historical growth rates, which are in the 16 to 18% range, because half our growth comes from advertising and half our growth comes to innovation. In terms of categories, I would say the largest part will continue to be the current category. It's in order of the size of the business for us, right? So ready to cook, instant popcorn, we continue to receive the giant share of it, right? It will be followed by peanut butter. And then we'll invest in breakfast cereals and chocolates as much as we see is incrementally available. It is not that the new categories will come at the expense of the current ones. No. We will continue to spend on the new category, on the current category, and then whatever is the additional amount, we will see how to deploy that behind the new categories. That's the fundamental, right? Because we need to keep growing our current businesses while we build out the new businesses. Okay? So on pricing, I think that's the question. And on staples, so we have never said that we will be growing our oil volumes by 5% or 10%. We've never said that, right? If you remember, I used to talk of a range, I think, between 98 and 102 or 104 on volumes. And kind of that's where it is. We need to have volumes in our edible oil business which indicate or gives us confidence to believe that our edible oil's gross margin that we are earning every year is not going to dramatically drop. Alright, so if you look at the last couple of years, it's in the 70 crore range, right? You know, last year I think it was about 77 crores, thereabouts. This year also we are okay. I think we probably made about 59 crores so far, right? So we are okay, right? Our judgment of this business is more that, look, we need an X amount of margin, so that it doesn't become a huge drain on our business, right? Okay? And that's how we would approach it, right? So your point is correct that traditionally, in classical terms, you say, oh, okay, so you know your volumes are down now -4, and now you need to do, what do you think? Will it come to +4? I think our metric and the lens through which we see it is, how much margin are we making from this business? If that margin is adequate, that's okay. That's the first thing, irrespective of what is that exact volume delta that has happened. Obviously, we'd like more volume because it's more sustainable, but we are looking for all the growth in the company to come from foods, right? And that's what we told you when we said, we want to have next year 1,000 crore business. We are not forecasting that there will be another 1,000 crores of edible oils. I think if you look at our SG&A calculation there, I think we showed a number of about 250 crores, something like that, right? So that's the lens through which we look at it. I know it's a little different, right? That's what we believe is right. Right? And many years ago when we told all of you that, you know, edible oils is not a category worth spending, right? A lot of you used to say, you know, a lot of you used to say, oh, but you know, your competitor is saying the opposite. And I said, you know, we'll see in time. That's the competitor's prerogative. We can't assess what is right for the competitor. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating today. So, yeah. All right. So, I guess, thank you. Thank you, Ajay, for that question. And I guess we're coming to the end of the Q&A now.
We have one question actually from Sirish, if you can just take that.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Our next question is from the line of Shirish Pardesi from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi Shirish.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have three quick questions.
Yeah.
When I look at last year, our base was very benign and now we have taken some adjustment. So, three questions starting from, do we need some pricing action downwards to lift the demand, because now your commentary is now skewed towards the rural part and rural is more price sensitive. So that's our first question. Second, on the medium to long term, you did mention that the capacity is now enough. So when we see the sweating of the assets and maybe if that growth is driven, what are the low hanging fruits or what are the medium term pains for the company? And third, in a steady state, over next 3 to 5 years, now we have a decent contribution from food, 46%. Now, once we targeted 50% contribution, we should have reached to 8-9% EBITDA, which has not happened. So what are the pain points there?
How? Good. Thank you. So I'll take the last part first, okay? So in terms of the pain points, I think the main thing is that you see, during COVID, we got a huge lift in ready-to-cook, right? If you look at our business, the ready-to-cook is almost double of what it was some years ago, right? But obviously, you know, that we look at everything on a year-on-year comparison. The good news, obviously, for us is that we actually didn't have a drop in our ready-to-cook business after COVID. We had some quarters that it was impacted, but marginal. And then, you know, we're coming back to growth. So I would say, broadly, at a high level, we managed to almost double our business and, you know, we're holding it there. However, if I look at the current growth, right, you can see all of the growth is being driven by breakfast cereals and ready-to-eat snacks, right? The manufacturing cost of manufacturing these products is much more than the manufacturing cost, the manufacturing percentage that it would be for a product like, say, ready-to-cook, right? That's a simple process. So that is what is driving up the total manufacturing cost as a percentage, because it all depends on where your growth is coming from, right? And the second part is that we also, as I called out, have a higher obsolescence rate. If you recall in our analyst meet we had presented, we have an obsolescence rate of about 1.9%. That's pretty high. Now, I don't think it's going to come down in the near term to the 0.5%, which most FMCG companies work on, but we certainly wouldn't like it to be in excess of 1%. But we have a large amount dependent on innovation. So that's kind of the balancing act that we are doing in terms of the food portfolio. And the last part is, remember, when edible oil prices fall, right, then the allocation of SG&A, whatever is our allocation of SG&A onto the foods business, it's hypothetical because we don't do segment-wise reporting, but will increase, right? If a part of our business has a huge price decline, then the SG&A contribution, even if on a notional basis, if you assign it to foods, will increase. So that is the other piece, which is therefore, you know, not working as we would have liked it to be. But then at the same time, it's fair to say, look, we took advantage also of the pricing, you know, when it was there from an SG&A percentage. But these are the 2-3 main change points that are visible in our system. Okay. In terms of medium to long term, your point on capacity, look, it's not that we are not going to keep building capacity. We don't build capacity today for 1,000 crores. And we have capacity, I think, close to maybe 800,000 crores. But we need to keep building capacity. But what we're trying to say is that the big ticket investments really don't need to be made any longer, right? We've got a presence. We've invested in capacity in all the 5 food categories that we compete in. And our focus, therefore, to Bimal Sambar's question was that we will focus now on, a lot of our capex will be focused on cost reduction, because that's the other part of how we're going to bring the manufacturing cost down, which relates to the question I just answered, Shirish, for you, which is that it is the manufacturing costs which are key now for us to be able to get to that 15% EBITDA mark. And I think that's what we highlighted in the November analyst meet also. In terms of pricing actions, I think I'll repeat what I said earlier. I think there's obviously three pricing actions which are underway. One is the pass-through pricing on edible oil that is flowing through. The second is on the ready-to-cook portfolio. The prices went up, input prices went up, they came down. We passed that benefit right back to the consumer, right? Which is why we are growing at whatever 4-5% mid-single-digit growth, right? And the third is that in the spirits category, we chose to do some pricing actions because we priced that was the best way for us to withstand this threat from Hindustan Unilever. Okay, let's face it. We're dealing with a situation where we are competing with India's largest FMCG company. Okay, it is not a company, you know, to be trifled with. They're reasonably smart people and they spend a lot of money, but they haven't made much progress. Right? So I think from that point, standpoint, we've done the job and I think executed to the best possible game plan that we could have chosen. And now it's a matter of time. We have to see how long they can keep spending. Right? We'll see. Right? But at this point in time, I don't believe that This level of spending with this current of level of revenues for them is sustainable. Now, time will tell on when it ends. I can't tell you that. Okay? All right? So, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody, for all the questions. A very, very happy new year to all of you. Have a great day, a great month, everything else, and a great year. Cheers. Bye now. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Anand Rathi Share and Stock Broker, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and now you may disconnect your lines.